Okay, let's turn over to Matthew 5. We are getting down the list of the Beatitudes. And today we are on, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. Now, for us to kind of get a grip on what it means to be a peacemaker, we first have to understand what the Lord is referring to when he says peace, when he says blessed are the peacemakers. And so one of the best places to turn is over into John 27, where Jesus gives us a distinction.
John 14:27.
Where John gives us a distinction between types of peace. He says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And so the Lord here in John is distinguishing between two types of peace, and they are greatly confused by all humans all the time. And what are the two types of peace he's talking about? He distinguishes the peace of God from the peace that is in the world or of the world. And is very, very clear distinction between the two, except when you enter into the human heart. And then those two concepts get real blurry. And so as those who are trying to follow after God, it's very, very, very important for us to clearly delineate and distinguish between those two types of peace. Because we, as humans, in the world right now, are striving for, each one of us, the peace that is in the world. Each one of us is, to a varying degrees. We're seeking for a peace which is in the world, and many of our thoughts and our motives and our actions are designed or are motivated by our desire to have a peace which is of the world. Okay, so what is peace of the world? What does it look like? What is it that we're striving for? Well, the peace of the world requires security. To be at peace, we have to have some money put away. We have to have some money. We have to have some money in the bank. We need to have investments, preferably, to have peace of mind. And you'll notice in all of the people selling investment programs, it's all about having peace of mind.
Yeah.
And then we must also have insurance policies to cover every possible contingency imaginable. And again, and this is the sales technique of all the insurance men, is that how can you have peace if this calamity can happen? And they emphasize all the various calamities that can happen to get people worked up into fear, and then they have to buy this policy so that they are at peace. Okay, so to have peace in the world, we have to have money in the bank, we have to have investments, we have to have security, we have to have insurance against every possible contingency. But that's just the beginning. To have peace as the world gives peace, we also have to be not in good health, but in perfect health. Because there is nothing that can destroy our peace quicker than discovering some unexplainable node, right? And you surely, the Luca family surely understands what that's like. And so every ache, every pain, every unexplainable twitch, anything that can possibly happen to us, our peace is contingent upon that body being in perfect shape. Holy smokes, especially the women, my goodness. A woman can be in perfect health and still be tormented by these bodily fears, these bodily concerns. Women are obsessed, really, with the fears of the body. It's just an amazing thing, and it's really sad. It's a real bondage. But as we strive to have peace of the world, that body has got to have everything, not only in perfect order, but in an explainable order, in such a way that we know everything is perfectly fine. Almost no woman ever gets to that point, but they're striving for that. That's why almost no women have peace. Because if there's anything unexplainable going on inside of them, women can feel things inside of them that men don't even know they have. Men don't even know they have these parts, and women can feel every twitch of the upper intestine. I mean, I don't know. I don't even I don't even have nerve endings there. I don't even know what it feels like. But women, they just have this amazing thing, and it's not one or two. It's pretty much, it's only the very, 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 very extraordinary woman that does not just have a compulsive concern about every single thing that's going on in their body. It's pretty normal. And it is actually one of the vexing trials for husbands. Okay, so our body has to be in perfect health in order to have peace. We also have to, those who have families have to have their kids safe. Kids have to be safe. Kids have to be good. If the kids aren't in a good situation, the parents cannot have peace. The kids have got to be doing well in every way, and they have to be safe. We have to have security at our job. If we're going to have peace, we can't have any fear of a layoff, cutbacks. We can't be on the short list of those who are going to get axed. We've got to know we've got long-term security in order to have peace. We have to have security in our home. We have to know that our spouse is faithful to us. We have to have great comfort. Now, the insecurity, right? The insecurity if, like what we talked about yesterday, 2 days ago, if even one of the spouses is looking at someone else, the other spouse is like, it's just like, wow. It's just like a tremendous destruction of their inward peace. Okay, so there's got to be that fidelity, there's got to be security, there's got to be health, the children have to be in good order. See, these are the biggies, we get the biggies in order. Let's say we get to the point where we got the biggies in order. Now, we got another list that we have to have taken care of before we can really relax, and that is our material things have to be in good shape, like our cars have to be in good order. They have to be in good order and preferably low mileage, late model. This is an obsession in many places. Obsession to have a late model, low mileage car. And it's because we don't want to have a breakdown. And so there's this fear of a breakdown, and we have to make sure that that's covered by having a good, sound vehicle. Also, our house has to be in good order. The shingles have to be like all there. They can't be leaking. The rain can't drip in to your living room while you're reading the Bible. And your ceilings can't be stained and falling down in order to have peace. God really worked on me with that one. Like I said, we're like a mixture of peace. Like, we want the peace of God, but we also want the peace of the world. And so, you know, God really hammered me through some of these things. And being a builder, of course, I wanted to have a house that was in good order, which was denied me. And I can't actually have a house that doesn't leak, which is actually an amazing trial for someone like me. So I can't stop it. So, okay. Anyway, also, our house has to be in order. Holy smokes, it's got to be clean. We can't have peace if the house is a mess. And so we got our clutter corners, we got our junk drawers. Like there's a lot of people who can't sit down and have a peaceful time if they know there's a drawer in the kitchen that's full of junk and garbage. There's a lot of people like that. And also, can't have peace. You sit down and read the word, and it's like, oh, I got to mow the lawn. Can't have peace. Can't sit down if the lawn hasn't been mowed, and there's a little bit scruffy looking. So we got to have the lawn mowed. And then, of course, there's the garden. The garden's got to be planted. The garden has to be weeded. The garden has to be tended. The garden has to be looked after. A garden is like a continual work. It's like an ongoing. It's never in good shape. It's amazing. So we have to have all these things in perfect order in order to have peace. How you really can't be expected to have peace if these things aren't under control. So we get all those things. We get the second list under control. And then it's like, well, okay, maybe the house is under control. Maybe the house is clean, and maybe we have a good job, good security, good cars, and but what about our relationships? Like, how can we have peace if a friend or a neighbor has said something unkind about us? Right? How can you have peace if you know your neighbor is speaking ill of you and sharing it with others? Mm. Or that your husband or your wife just irritated the heck out of you. How can you have peace if there's discord in your marriage or in your family? What if you're feeling put down? Or what if you just feel like you're not getting the recognition you should get? That's also a great source of discontentment. If nobody is recognizing us for who we are and what we're doing and our service and our talents or whatever it is, we can't really be expected to have peace if we're not also being recognized, so that we're well thought of. We have to be well thought of to have peace in the world. So you've got all those things of relationships. So let's say we get all those lists we have so far in order. But then there's another list. There's the things that we want. There's our list of desires that have been unfulfilled. Like, there's things we want to do. There's things that we need to be accomplished. There's things that we want. Like, how could any housewife be expected to be content or at peace with those old drapes hanging up on the windows? You know what I mean? It's like, how could you be expected to have peace in a condition like that? And so we have to have all the things we want in order to have peace as well, and have our desires fulfilled and the things we long for. And then, like, boy, I would really just, it would just really be a perfect contentment if I just had that summer cottage up on the mountains. And so we strive to have all of our lists fulfilled. Every last item has to be fulfilled before we can have peace. And so we are scrambling to try to take care of all these different areas at once. It's like being in a leaky boat. a leak springs out. We run over, we stick our finger in it. And while we do that, another leak springs up. We put our finger there. And then pretty soon we got all of our fingers and all of our toes trying to hold in all of these leaks, because there's so many areas that we must have in order before we can be at peace. There's so many areas. So as we strive to have peace in the world, if there's even one thing in that immense list that I just gave you, if there's even one thing that's out of order, we don't have peace. We could have the entire world, and yet if our child, if our son is in trouble or has just bad-mouthed us or back-talked us, gone, no peace. No peace. So you see, the peace of the world is above everything else very fragile. It is the most fragile thing because there's so many parts of it that can be messed up. And so our lives, especially we see, well, it's everywhere, but we really see it in Massachusetts, New England, where we were just real hard workers, real strivers. We're all about trying to make all of those things line up so that we can have peace. And this is the rat race, because it is an impossible task. It's impossible. And so as we're trying to tend to this leak, this other one leaks, and especially the ones with our kids, holy smokes, there's nothing that distresses a person more than having their kid in trouble. So there's this immense community of mankind that is living in utter distress. There is no peace in this world. This is a leaky boat. The people who try to have a boat that's called peace as the world gives, they are sinking. They're sinking. And this is one of the advantages that we have as we go to evangelize, is to understand, no matter what the appearance of a person we meet at any location, no matter how well-dressed, how affluent, how whatever they look like, it is a complete illusion. It's an illusion, because there is no peace in that heart that you're looking at. You're looking at the outside appearance, but God's looking inside, and there is no peace there. None. Man, nobody has got peace. Everyone has disaster and frets and worries, anxieties, fears, disasters, family problems. Everyone does. Everyone. And so we're looking at a mass of humanity that is very pitiable. And this is a motivation for us to go out and to share the good news, which is Jesus. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Not as the world gives. Do not be dismayed and do not fear. So Jesus comes by and he offers a peace which is not based or built on or contingent upon any of those things, which is an awesome thing. It's not contingent upon any one of those things. It's a peace that is above it. It's higher than it. It's from another world. And how do we obtain that peace? What is this peace of God? How do we make it real in our personal lives? There's three main items that need to be tended to if we would have a peace that is not of this world. There's only one, really. Just look at Helen. Just do what Helen does. Because Helen does the three things that I'm talking about. The first is to study the promises of God. To study the promises of God. As you're reading through the Word and you're diligently studying God's Word, focus and zoom in on those promises of God toward you. Okay? Like, we always want to be cognizant of our sins, so we read the Word that it would be a mirror to show us what we look like. But also, He has got hundreds of wonderful promises toward us, showing that His heart toward us is good. And so we read the promises, and then the second thing is to believe the promises. To believe that His word, His promises are yea and amen toward us, and that He has a good plan for our lives. For I know my plans for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not for evil. Plans for good and not for evil. And then we must believe that. We must believe His plan is for us is for good and not for evil. Or if we don't, we fall into the sin of the Israelites in the wilderness, right? They were undergoing hard times, and they lost sight of the fact that God loved them and had good for them. And so they started to complain. And the result of their complaining and not believing God's promise is that they never entered into the rest of God. And so we also will not enter into the rest of God if we read His promises, but we don't take hold of them by faith, which is simply believing that they do apply to us. And the third essential element is exactly what Roger prayed this morning, that we enter into the secret place of the Most High. That's why I talk about it all the time. Entering to the secret place of the Most High is the secret of having victory. It's the secret of having the peace that passes understanding. It's the secret place of the Most High where we obtain peace. And what does that mean? What is the secret place of the Most High? How do we get into it? It's a place of quietness in God where God actually fills us up, where we actually obtain the peace of God because we have gone into His presence. We have sought Him earnestly. We have not given up. We are persistent in prayer, just like it says in the fellowship book. And we get, as we persist in prayer, an unearthly, godly peace comes to us. It fills our soul. And we begin to actually know that God really loves us. He's really right there. And we are really in the palm of His hand. And it's not for no reason that I emphasize this so much. I'm not just talking. This is life and death. It's the very difference between victory and peace, or living a life of continual fear and depression forever until you learn the secret of the secret place in the Most High, which is just drawing close to God in prayer, going out as often as you can, just like Brother Roger said this morning, as often as we can, every chance we get, taking our word, going out by ourselves, sitting with God. If you don't have a place that's quiet, go out to any one of our vehicles. We've got tons of vehicles. And just sit out there. You can turn on the heater. And that's the only place I have found where I can get quiet. But it's good, and we have a lot of vehicles. So don't hesitate to go out there. Turn it on, get it warm, and have your quiet time out there if you want to.
Don't bother.
So that's why I emphasize it so much. And for those who have not yet entered into the secret place of the Most High, keep on pressing. Keep pressing until you do, because it is the single thing that will change your life forever. You will have a refuge. You'll have a place to go when you are being distressed by some distress of the world. Like, it's a continual fight, right? Because we're flesh and blood, because we're humans, we're always striving after peace as the world gives us. All the time. All the time. We always want peace as the world gives. Like, I mean, I still want our house to not leak. You know what I'm saying? I still want that. But Because of that, I have to just keep running to God and just say, well, God is my refuge. God is my peace. God is my shelter from the storm. And I just take refuge in Him. And apart from that secret place, there's no peace, because people are always saying things that are unkind about us, right? There's always someone that hurts us and wounds us. And what do? Well, it says, David says, He will hide us secretly in His shelter from the strife of tongues. Mm-hmm. And so we have to run into that place. And this is why God allows us to be buffeted so often. Is so that we will be driven into that secret place. See, as humans, we're so reluctant, we're so stubborn, we're so mule-like that we won't go into the secret place of the Most High, though it's the most beautiful place on earth and in heaven, is in the presence of God, yet we won't go there. Man, that fire can be bubbling away and it's like, just beautiful, but man, nope, I'm not going to drink any of that, nope. Oh, no way, you can't make me drink it. I mean, we are real stubborn. We are amazing stubborn cusses. We are just awesomely stubborn. And so we can be brought right to the fountain and we won't drink. And so God sends these distresses on us to force us to get desperate enough to drink living water. And then we drink it, it's like, well, it's not bad. Well, it's pretty good. Oh, maybe I should have started drinking this before. You know, and we begin to see how foolish we are. Because God's motive toward us is good. He's no ulterior motive whatsoever. It's only good. He only wants us to have peace. He only wants us to drink from the fountain of life. And so when we won't come to him, He sends distresses to drive us, like He's doing with our dear Hamza right now. Since distress is to drive us to Himself. All right? And then we come to Him, and He gives us a peace that passes understanding. Peace that's not of the world. A peace that is of Him. Now, this secret place of the Most High is one that we have to be in all the time. Because, because there's no peace in the world. But to underscore how significant this is and how much of a reality this is, says that Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor. He says that He came to bring peace and joy to the poor. And what's so significant about that? He came to bring the kingdom of joy and peace to those who had absolutely nothing in the world. They had no peace in the world. And so in that very statement, God is showing us that it's not about having peace in any facet of this world. It's a transcendent joy. It's a transcendent peace. And we see that in Jesus' disciples as they were, went through all various afflictions following Him. God gave them a peace that was above the world. And that's what He has for each one of us, is that peace that passes understanding. So ours is to promote that. Is to promote it in ourselves, to promote it in others, to direct others to the secret place of the Most High. Is to comfort our friends. You know, all of our friends, everyone who isn't here and having this time with God, it's a very privileged situation we have here. Like, our friends are in distress that's really extreme. Every one of Rachel's friends is frazzled, frantic, filled with fear and anxiety because they haven't been to the fountain maybe in their whole life, or maybe one time when they first got saved. They've drunk just a tiny drop and they've never gone back. And so all of Ty's friends, all of Ben's friends, everybody's friends that we know, they are living in a place of real chaos. They have no peace whatsoever because it's not in the world. And they're pursuing it because they're young. Because they're young, they still think there's peace in the world. And so they're pursuing it with all their heart, thinking if I just obtain this, then I will have that fulfillment. All I have to do is this, and I'll have all that I need to really be happy. And so they're chasing, and they're in a hamster wheel because there's no end to the things that they're going to need to make them happy. And if they do obtain one of, or more of them, they find instantly it's not enough. Instantly it's not gratifying anymore. After the very first second, it's like, oh, well, that's nice, but this is what I really need. And so all of our friends are in that various stages of just pursuing the world, trying to have peace in it. And so this is where your job is so important. Each one here has contact with an entire circle of people that we have no contact with. And yours is to promote peace in their hearts by sharing the very things that you're learning here today, by sharing about this transcendent peace of God. Hey, listen, Melissa, it's not in the boyfriend, it's not in the house, it's not in the car or going to the right school. It's about just having prayer time with God, having your secret time with God. Just like we all have the ability to increase peace in those around us. And God says, blessed are you if you do that. So I really, really want to encourage those who have not yet stepped into the job. You're just kind of timid and you're being beaten. I want to encourage you strongly to start doing the job, which is promoting peace, which is praying for your family, talking to your friends, and promoting peace in their lives, because you have something now which they don't have. And so it's not about you. It's about you taking the good news to others. It's not about us. It's about us reaching others and being peacemakers and bringing that peace of God to others. So take your job really, really, really seriously. Don't, as I told Josh, we're in a boat and we're trying to rescue people. And we're in a storm and we got people literally drowning around us. And each one of us needs to take up our oar and start doing the job. And what's the oar? It's using our mouths to enter into the secret place of the Most High ourselves. It's using our mouths to praise God earnestly, verbally, entering into the secret place of God ourselves, and then promoting that peace to those around us, telling them about, you know, leading them and showing them. Like, they're probably going to be just as stubborn as you, so you can't be discouraged. We're all pretty stubborn. But as you bring that fountain of life to them, you know, and you pray for them, eventually they're going to start drinking. And so this is doing the job which God has called each of you to. So it's not about what we're doing, it's about what we're doing. Every one of us has a very, very urgent job because we all know people who are perishing in fear. Perishing in fear. So let's just pray. Lord God, we ask you to make your peace real to us and also help us to make your peace real to others. Lord, help us to enter into the secret place of the Most High, and then help us to bring living water to our friends who are so desperate, who are so empty and so desolate, so filled with fears, Lord. Help us to be conduits of your blessing. Help us to be messengers with good news. Give us beautiful feet, Lord God, as we bring good news to those who are suffering. Lord, help us to do the job which you have called us to. I pray for your blessing on each one of us and on all those contacts and friends and circles that are represented here, Lord, that your kingdom might be enlarged in all of their lives. Please bless Angela. Please bless her circle, O Lord. Please enable her to minister to her band mates, O Lord God, and those that she goes out with, and her family. Lord, make her a conduit of your peace and your blessing. Cause us all to be vessels of your mercy, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord God. Thank you for your ways. Amen. Thank you, God. So this is like a life work. This is a life work. It's a life work getting out of the peace of the world and into the peace of God. In fact, it's pretty much the work of the Holy Spirit in your life for the rest of time. Yep. It's not an overnight thing, but more and more and more, God will direct you to His peace, because the things of the world will always and forever let you down. They will always let you down. And sometimes you have to be older to really, 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 really realize that nothing in this world is going to be there. It's a staff, you'll put your hand on it, it'll go through your hand. As you lean on a person, lean on a career, lean on a job, lean on a whatever. Lean on a car, like Ty did, you know. Well, that one went through her hand quick.